You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along. Welcome back to William Hill's Boxing Podcast. Quite a few fights up for discussion this week, including, of course, the big fight coming up early hours of Sunday morning UK time when Deontay Wilder takes on Dominic Brazil. That's very much the feature in the boxing world this weekend, but some other interesting fights to get stuck into as well. Got a decent card at the SSC Hydro in Glasgow, of course, where local lad Josh Taylor is fighting. Billy Joe Saunders also in action across the course of the weekend as well. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me as ever on the line is Steve Bunce ahead of another busy weekend of boxing. Bunty, how are you, sir?
I'm absolutely fantastic. I've got to tell you, the three locations and the four, five, six or seven or so fights at those locations worth watching is a great advertisement for time travel, because it's quite an exceptional weekend, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I'm talking a genuinely exceptional weekend. There might be some memories left behind from this weekend, so we don't forget in a hurry, I can assure you.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. Particularly, of course, the big bout coming up this weekend, which is obviously Deontay Wilder taking on Dominic Brazil. Wilder defending his heavyweight title for the 10th time is pretty short in the betting, as you might imagine. Wilder is 1-8 for the bout betting market, and Brazil 5-1 with the draw in there at 25-1. I say understandably short. We've obviously seen much, much shorter. We'll start with your thoughts on this fight, please.
Yeah, it's an interesting fight, this, and I think it's a dangerous fight for Wilder. I mean, people seem critical of it. Simply, the reason why people were critical of it is that he wasn't given a rematch. He wasn't fighting Tyson Fury for a second time. There's something about big old Dominic Brazil. He's a kid that answered an advert once. Basically, it said, are you above 6 foot X? Do you weigh more than X? Are you a sportsman? Do you want to be a boxer and make millions? And he answered the ad. No, it's true. Him and about 800 others answered the ad. One of the guys that answered the ad, no word of a lie, was legally blind. And one guy only had one hand. But they answered the ad because it wasn't specific. So they went through a kind of boot camp, and it narrowed down to about four or five guys. And lo and behold, this is going to be Brazil's second world title fight. He's only lost the once. But what he's got, Brazil, is a big old lump. He can bang a little bit. He can punch. He's got a decent jab. But he's incredibly brave. It took Anthony Joshua a long time to chop him down a few years ago, the seventh. And Joshua was chopping down from the first, I can assure you. And Wilder's not that busy. So if Brazil... stays away from the right hand, which is easier said than done, just ask Tyson Fury. If this fight could become quite interesting if we go past 6 or 7. I'm not convinced we will go past 6 or 7, but it could go quite interesting. But the reason why the fight's getting a lot of publicity this week is because once again Wilder's talked about his desire, correct word, his word, to kill somebody in the ring. Now this is, I find this just bizarre. I mean, if a British boxer in a high-profile British fight were to say that, he'd have his license suspended. I can assure you, he'd have his license suspended, and he'd have a hefty fine. I mean, Billy Joe Saunders was fined $100,000 for talking to a drug addict out the side of his car and it being filmed, let alone at a press conference announcing it. So if Wilder was British, this fight wouldn't be taking place. He would have his license suspended and would be fined a massive amount. It's one thing saying, I'm going to knock you out, I'm going to hurt you. But he's talked specifically about killing a man. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, boxing's the only business in the world where you can kill someone and not get and not be sued. So why not exercise my right? I mean, I've been with him. He's a man of God, allegedly. He's this great character, and he's a nice guy, I swear to you. But this is the second time now in his career that he's done this. Mm. And it's fairly desperate. And what's going to be interesting is to see if every single seat in the Barclays Center is sold out. And if it isn't sold out, in 2 weeks' time, about 4, 5, or 6 miles away on Manhattan, at Madison Square Garden, Anthony Joshua fights, and there'll be no talk of I want a dead body on my record from Joshua, and that venue will be heaving. They will be hanging off the ceiling, showing that you don't have to talk about killing people in the ring legally to do it. I'd like to think that Wilder's lost an awful lot of fans, and his defence is equally disgraceful. I'm very disappointed in him. I think he wins, Wilder, because he can bang. I think he wins, and I think he'll catch Brazil. It'll take him a few rounds, about the same sort of time as Joshua, really, by about seven. I'm going for about 6 and 7.
Well, this is the thing as well. The thing that you've touched on there, the fact that he said it in the first place, and then to double down on it, rather than just, you know, trying to pass it off as a mistake, something he apologised for, I said in the heat of the moment, but he's actually reinforced his belief again, even when, you know, there could have been a small get-out clause for him. You know, he could have just apologised for it and said, you know, I said what I said, I didn't mean it. But to double down on that statement, quite something.
Yeah, it's quite ridiculous. And what you have to understand is that, and it's not a case of, oh, well, what do you expect? You know, he's a heavyweight. You know, he grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. He doesn't know what he's doing. All his friends are drug dealers. That's not the case. This guy grew up, you know, he had a fairly decent life. You know, he wasn't, you know, his mum and dad weren't crack addicts. He wasn't put into care living on the streets and hustling at the age of 15. Don't, you know, that wasn't his case. And what's more, he's surrounded by people whose education has cost $500,000. One of his main advisors is a former lawyer, is a guy that no longer practices law because he's in the boxing business, from Yale, one of the most expensive universities in the world. That's one of his key advisors. And the rest of these people are seasoned, brilliant geniuses. The man, Al Heyman, that manages him is often considered the greatest figure, mysterious, mystical figure in the boxing business, worth billions of dollars. These are smart men. These are some of the smartest brains working in boxing are at his beck and call. Why did not one of these just pick up the phone and say to the kid, what are you doing? And then, as you say, instead of, as you put it, doubling down, instead of making it worse, in my opinion, why didn't one of them say, we need to backtrack on this and explain what you mean? You know, I got a text yesterday from a guy called Carl Wright, who about 22, 23 years ago lost in a British light welterweight title fight. And on the way back to Liverpool from Sheffield, he collapsed in the car, had a fit. Within an hour, he was in hospital being sedated, being put into a plastic coma and having a bit of bone flap the size of a playing card removed from his skull whilst the surface of his brain was basically vacuumed and the excessive blood, the bleed, was removed. Then the bone flap is rested back and he recovered. He was in a coma for a couple of weeks and he's made a recovery and he lives a decent life now. But he nearly died. And he sent me a text yesterday. And so that's for a man from the very front line saying, what is this guy talking about? That's testimony enough for me as far as I'm concerned. Wilder is a terrific, entertaining fighter. And in my experiences of being around him when he boxed in Sheffield once and ringside and being around him in Los Angeles, I found him an engaging guy, a nice guy, an entertaining character and an exciting fighter, even if he's a bit flawed. But this stuff, there's no place for it. And you can't slap wrists. You've got to do a showy. You've got to do something here. You've got to do something to change this. You know, you've got to take him to meet some fighters that are still in comas, recovering from fights. You've got to do something. Or maybe take him to a couple of grades of fighters that have lost and have him sit down with the guy's wife, girlfriend or children who lost their father, son or husband in the ring. So not a great guy, not a great advert. It'll be an entertaining fight, though. I'm going for Wilder in about 6 or 7.
Okay, there are a couple of bets available around that. Wilder to win between rounds 7 and 9. That is available at 130. 7 of his last 9 fights have gone past the 8th round. And we do know Brazil's got a reasonably good chin, so he could take him a little bit further than perhaps the betting expects in this
Absolutely.
One. 1-8 for Wilder to win outright and 2-5 to win by stopping Brazil. On to an interesting night of boxing at the SES Hydro in Glasgow. And we'll start with Josh Taylor, who is obviously bound to have all of the support, being a Scottish-born man. He takes on Ivan Barinchik in this one. And the bout betting ahead of this is Josh Taylor is 1-6. Barinchik is 4-1, 25-1 for the draw. Obviously, as I mentioned there right at the top of the piece, Josh Taylor is Scottish. He's not a Glasgow boy. He's from Edinburgh, but sure to have the support of this Scottish crowd. Two unbeaten fighters as well. This could be a good one.
Yeah, it's a cracking fight. It's not only two unbeaten fighters, Baranchik's IBF title would be on the line. So if it was just a world title fight, it would be good enough. But it's not. It's got a little bit more than that. It's part of the thing called the World Boxing Super Series. And the winner of this gets to fight a man called Regis Progre. Regis Progre at the moment owns the WBA belt. So it would be a partial unification. Plus, there's a lot of money involved. It's a great series, and I've got to be honest with you, I've been very impressed with the way it's gone. I like Baranchik. I like Josh Taylor. One's 14-0, one's 19-0. I think this is a really hard fight. Baranchik's a little bit harder than we think. He's a little bit smarter than we think, because that's the one flaw against Baranchik, is that he's not maybe as slick as he could be. Taylor's slick. He's an Olympian. He's a Commonwealth Games champion. He's a world amateur championship veteran, a European amateur championship veteran. I do fancy Taylor, but I fancy it's going to be really difficult, and I fancy he wins on points. But a defeat would not be a shock. It also wouldn't be the end of his career, because he's a relative, he's a relative baby.
Taylor on points is 4-5, if you wanted to go in okay. That way. We've got some enhanced odds on this one as well. Josh Taylor to win in rounds 1-6. That was 5-1, out to 13-2. But potentially Taylor to win on points there in the betting at 4-5. The other title fight on that card is for the world bantamweight title. Emmanuel Rodriguez taking on Naya Inoue. The bout betting ahead of this one, Inoue is at 1-8. The draw 25-1. Rodriguez 9-2. Again, two unbeaten fighters. Another belt on the line. I get the feeling you're excited for this one.
Yeah, what it is, Inoue or Inoue, depending on how Japanese you want to try and sound.
I'll bow to your judgment on that.
Yeah, well, listen, I spit it up. I don't care. he's unbeaten in 17 fights. He's only 26 years of age. But he's actually won world titles now at three different weights. He went from light fly, he jumped over flyweight to super fly, and then up to bantam, which is what this fight's being fought at. He's had 12 world title fights at the three weights. He stopped 11 men quickly. He's on a run of two first-round knockouts. He is arguably, the fact that he's Japanese, most of his fights are in Japan, and he is so tiny and so small, he's going under radar. So whilst everyone's trying to say, who's the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world? Is it Saul Canelo Alvarez? Is it Vasyl Lomachenko, Terence Crawford? Or is it even Anthony Joshua? Most purists and hardcore boxing fans will say, yeah, they're all great. They're in second, third, fourth, and fifth place, because number one is Inoue, whatever you want to call it. He is number one, pound for pound. He's arguably the best, most exciting, most dangerous fighter in the world at the moment. However, he's fighting a guy who's unbeaten in 19, who stops plenty of them, who is a terrific fighter. If Emmanuel Rodriguez was just fighting here again, he fought here already, beat Paul Butler last year or the year before last to win the title. If Emmanuel Rodriguez was fighting here, I'd be equally excited. The two of them together, this is ridiculous. And this is part of a World Boxing Super Series as well. It's quite incredible what's happening. It's just quite staggering, to be perfectly honest with you. This is an incredible fight. If this was on in Japan, people would be trying to find a way to stream it and get it. I fancy Inoue, because you have to fancy Inoue. But what were the odds again? Because it's two unbeaten world champions with lots of stoppages. What are the odds again? I just missed them at the top there. What did you say they were?
Inoue 1-8 and Rodriguez 9-2.
1-8. 1-8 in a fight against a guy who's also an unbeaten world champion. I'm not saying it's never happened before, but boy, oh boy, that seems like it might be a first. I'm going Inoue. I'm going by about four, because you can't start saying he's going to go the distance if he's only been the distance on two occasions and only once in his last 12 fights. I fancy Inoue. Rodriguez might be a bit too game for his own good. He's claiming he should be called the beast and not Inoue the beast. I'm going for Inoue by four.
Okay, Inoue then to get wrapped up in the first four rounds. It's 4-1, by the way, that Inoue wins in rounds 1-3. Rounds 4-6 is 11-4. A great point you make there as well, just regards the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, because the lower weight divisions, or the lighter weight divisions, are very often overlooked in that conversation. I remember a few years ago when Chocolatito was fighting Roman Gonzalez, the Nicaraguan, and I'd never heard of him. And one of my friends was saying to me, "You've got to watch this guy. He's one of the best pound for pound fighters in the world. And because he's not a heavyweight, and because he doesn't fight at the more popular weight divisions, they do sometimes get overlooked. So it's a very fair point that these lighter weights maybe aren't in the conversation as much as they should be.
Yeah, they go underneath radars. I mean, Chocolito, we managed to get him on Box Nation. He had about four or five fights of us there. It was a revelation. And there was a case, as you said, at the time when he was being ignored, which is about sort of 2.5 years ago, there was a case for him being the best fighter in the world. And all of the others, Golovkin and the rest of them, fakes. They were fakes compared to Chocolito.
Indeed.
Great stuff, man.
Let's talk Billy Joe Saunders then before we wrap up the podcast, because he's also fighting this weekend. Takes on Shefat Issoufi in this one. Saunders very short to win, 1-100 for Billy Joe Saunders. The draw 33-1, and Issoufi is in there betting at 16-1. Been a real up and down year and a half or so for Billy Joe Saunders, who was obviously banned for taking a banned substance, was then reinstated, but missed a big payday. Made his return last time around, fighting at almost cruiserweight level, and won that pretty comfortably back in December, knocking out his opponent. This fight, just purely on the betting, has a similar kind of feel about it, that this is just another tune-up fight for Billy Joe Saunders. Is that the case?
Yeah, it should be. Just a mild point of order. When he failed the test, it was in August, and results were known in September.
Right.
I think it was an October fight. The substance and the way he fouled wasn't illegal under British Boxing Board of Control's rules and regulations. So the British Boxing Board of Control fully supported him and said, had the fight been taking place in Britain, then he would have gone ahead with that fight.
Okay.
He lost an awful lot when that fight with Bubu Andrade was cancelled. Billy gave up his title, and he's waiting for his day in court. Let's move on from that. He's had a dreadful couple of years with Billy Joe. He won this title, it seems like forever ago. And but for instance, back in about November of 2014, he beat Chris Eubank Jr. Then a year later, he won the title from Andy Lee. They're good wins. And then there was a brilliant win against the Canadian David Lemieux in December of 2017. Again, that's 18 months ago. He's still only relatively young, Billy, which is on his side. I think he's only 29, which is amazing. It seems like he's been around forever. He has to get rid of Issoufi, and as he said, winning on points isn't really enough, and I agree. This is a fight that's being shown live in America as well. He needs to get rid of Issoufi, who I think is a Bosnian living in, fighting in and out of Germany. He needs to get rid of him quick. The only problem with that is Issoufi has been a big old boy. He's fought up at heavyweight, cruiserweight, or big cruiserweight, nearly heavyweight, light heavy, forced his way down to super middle. Billy's moving up from middleweight, looks fantastic physically, working with Ben Davison, the man that's transformed Tyson Fury during the last 18 months or so. Billy will win. He has to win well, and he has to move on. And what's more, he needs two more fights this year. He's got to catch up, because he can be in that multi-million dollar mix with Golovkin, with Canelo Alvarez, with Callum Smith. If he wants to get in that mix and make some serious money, then he's got to win quick, get back in the ring, and not make any more mistakes away from the ring. I'm fancying Billy Joe. In fact, I'm fancying him quite heavily, to be honest with you. I'm fancying him by about 8 or 9 rounds.
Okay, Billy Joe Saunders to win by stoppage is 2-7. Again, we've got all the grouped round betting ahead of this one. Billy Joe Saunders to win in round 7-9 is available at 3-1 in this one, or you could take him round 7-12. You think the fight goes fairly long. That's 13-8, 11-10 to get it done in the first 6 rounds ahead of that bout coming up on Saturday night. Do check out all the betting ahead of all the boxing this weekend. It's a very busy weekend of boxing. Buncey, thank you for that. Genuine pleasure as always. And enjoy it this weekend. Some great fights to look forward to.
Thanks very much indeed. Speak to you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.